But just going back over the course of this past week, the data reports from the US, they're interesting. Yeah, they're showing that the economy is near to slowing, but it hasn't slowed yet. And when I say it hasn't slowed yet, we got the advance reading of Q4 GDP out of the US, and that came back, but not as much as expected. Annualized GDP growth came back from 3.2% in Q3 to 2.9% in Q4. You know, still reasonably firm, well above market expectations of 2.6 as well, and largely supported by consumer spending. Consumer spending, in real terms, came back a little to 2.1% annualized from 2.3%. Where there was any softness in the economy, it's related to housing, so housing activity coming back quite sharply. Business investment spending started to show some signs of pulling back as well. So those are the areas where it's just starting to pull back, but you've still not got an economy which is at imminent threat of moving towards recession, and you've still got an economy which is still generating a lot of strength through the labour market. And we had, for example, the initial jobless claims came out for the most recent week and went down even further below that 200,000 marker, down to 186,000, very low reading, from 192,000 the month before. So this is still pointing to a white hot, basically, labour market in the US. And that has to be still a concern as far as the Fed, when it meets later this week. Some of the leading indicators too, they've just got a little bit of a dogleg up on them. So we had the January manufacturing PMI came out, services sector PMI. Both of them lifted a bit. You know, in the 40s, but they're in the high 40s. So we had the manufacturing PMI, the old style one, lifted to 46.8. That was more than expected, from 46.2. And the services sector PMI went up to 46.6 from 44.7 the previous month. Now, that's interesting because in the past, you need these down below 45, sort of the 40 through 45 region. You need them there for several months too before you start to get towards recession conditions. These are really not quite getting there just yet. Having said that, we got a little bit of softness running through the most recent figures for December for personal spending. Personal spending was down by 0.2% in the month of December. That's mostly on housing hitting that. And that was after being down 0.1% the month before. But personal income still rising slightly at 0.2 from 0.3% the month before. Also, the Fed's key measure of inflation, still running around about 0.3% a month. This is the core personal consumption expenditure deflator. And in December, it brought the annual rate back a little bit to 4.4%. But broadly speaking, this is still running too high, too strongly as far as the Fed's concerned. The other one too, which is interesting, was the final bits and pieces, the preliminary reading of the January Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey that came out right at the end of the week. That lifted a bit to 64.9 from 64.6, and that 64.6 was actually from 60 the month before. So they're not high readings, but they're starting to lift a little bit on those. And also pending home sales came out for the month of December. And rather than being down, they lifted by 2.5% for December after being down 2.6% the month before. This week in the US, we get a number of readings culminating in non-farm payrolls at the end of the week. And, of course, we've got one of the big central banks. We've got several central banks who've got their meetings this week. But one of the biggest of all, of course, is the Fed. And they have their meeting over Wednesday and Thursday. Yeah, the market's pretty much convinced that the Fed's going to lift by a smaller amount this time, by 25 basis points. That would take the Fed funds rate, the top of the Fed funds rate band, which was up to 4.5% at their last meeting. They were taking up to 4.75%. And the view is that the Fed's getting near the top, so they're watching the forecasts on the Fed governor's predictions of where the Fed funds rate will go. Yeah, the market's still expecting, obviously, it's going to get towards five-ish and a bit above, but not much more than that. And also just some of the rhetoric from the Fed indicating that it's starting to move slower, that it's getting more comfortable with the inflation outlook. The only thing that mitigates against that is that it can't really get comfortable with the way the labour market is still running in the US. That's still very much consistent with inflation being quite sticky, even though it may be coming down. It's not going to get back down towards their target. So it'll just be interesting to see what the rhetoric is when we get the FOMC decision. Ahead of that, we get various indicators such as fourth quarter employment cost index. Yeah, that's racing ahead at the moment. So employment costs were up 1.2% quarter on quarter for US employers going back to Q3. They expect to be up at least 1.1% again for the most recent quarter. We've got the Conference Board Consumer Confidence Index. That's the other consumer sentiment indicator for January. That did rise quite a bit to 108.3 going back last month. It's expected to go higher to 109. We get the ISM manufacturing PMI. That one's still expected to be around the 48 mark, so still it's a little bit below the 50, but not far. And then beyond the Fed's decision, we get into things, notably on Friday, non-farm payrolls. And where the market's looking on this is that average hourly earnings are expected to lift by 0.3%. That's after a 0.3% gain the month before. That would lower the rates to 4.3% from 4.6%. But the whole point is if we keep going at 0.3s, we can't get this down to much less than about 3.6%, 3.7%. And it's showing no signs of getting much less than that over the course of the next few months. And that's simply not consistent with the Fed getting inflation down to target consistently at 2% over time. So, they're still running pretty strongly. The market thinks that non-farm payrolls will be sub 200,000. If it is, it's the first time in about 3 months. They're looking for plus 185,000. What I would say is every month we've been beating target for non-farm payrolls. The previous month was 223,000. So watching that one. And they're also seeing the unemployment rate perhaps ticking up 1 point to 3.6 from 3.5. The Fed really needs that unemployment rate to be knocking up nearer to 4% to be to really hold back inflation pressure over time. So, watching those figures as we get towards the later part of this week. And we'll also get the ISM non-manufacturing PMI. And if anything, that's probably going to drift back above 50 on the ISM measure to 50.3 from 49.6. In China, last week, there was nothing because obviously it's the holidays, everybody's moving around, no statistics came out. This week out of China, we've got some purchasing managers' indices. These should all look a little bit better than they did the month before. We're starting to ease up on many fronts in China. It's one of the reasons why markets have got reasonably optimistic. It's not just that, the energy price crunch hasn't been as bad as everybody thought it would be in the Northern Hemisphere winter, largely because of warm weather in Europe. But one of the other big positive factors has been the policy change in China, where it's from restriction on various areas, including COVID lockdowns, restrictions that applied in the property property speculation. Many of those have eased, and some have even gone to support initiatives. So there's been about face there. The restrictions on many of the high-tech companies that were put in place, and the owners of high-tech companies, most of those have been released as well. So it's been this complete 180 degrees on the restrictions which have been applying in China. And by one remove, you've seen the charm offensive with countries such as us, where we were a pariah, weren't the only ones, there were many others. Motors, who bought the ire of China. Now it's, oh, let's be friends and let's see what we can do about opening trade up again. So it's been this complete change that's just making things a little bit more optimistic about China. It's still going to take time for Chinese growth to pick up, and they are dealing with the consequences of opening up with the infection rate from the virus. So it's sort of but it is a somewhat better outlook as far as China's concerned. Here in Australia, the big thing last week, of course, was inflation and the inflation readings. And we're going in a different direction to overseas at the moment. Overseas, US inflation peaked way back in June, July last year, when it was over 9%, back to 6.5% now. European inflation peaked at near 11%, down to the low nines now. Over the last 3 months, it's been coming back. We're going against that. We're still rising. We may have peaked in the December quarter, and there's a fair chance we have, because when we get to the March quarter reading, the CPI was particularly big in the March quarter last year at 2.1%. So we'd have to repeat that or worse to get the inflation rate going up. But you know, there are some worrying signs in the CPI when it came out on Wednesday. The first one was that it was higher than expectations. So you know, market expectations were 1.6% for the quarterly CPI increase. It came in at 1.9, and the annual rate of inflation has gone up to 7.8% from 7.3. That's worrying enough. But we also had the new monthly CPI reading came out the day before, and the December CPI for the month of December, the annual inflation rate jumped from 7.3 to 8.4. So right at the end of the fourth quarter, we were still getting significant rises running through the annual rate. And it wasn't in sort of you know, the areas which are related to weather and energy. If anything, those were starting to behave. You know, this was starting to come through in things like travel and all these other bits and pieces, some of the service sectors. And many of these parts were starting to rise pretty rapidly. It's hard to find a category in the CPI which is where you've got modest inflation now. Almost all of them are rising very, very fast. And so this is a bit of the worry that's running through the CPI. And you can see it in the underlying measures. The underlying measures actually lifted quite a bit. So we had the trim mean, which is up 1.7% quarter on quarter, and the weighted median up 1.6. As a result of that, on the trim mean, we went up to 6.9 from 6.1, and the weighted median went up to 5.8 from 5.0. So this puts a hell of a lot of pressure back to the Reserve Bank again. They can probably say with some confidence it's going to come down a little bit in the March quarter, but whether it stays down in the March quarter or has another flip back up again in the June quarter is difficult to tell. We appear to have more inflation running through our economy than most others. And a part of the concern here too is everything which appears to be good from the government's point of view on the policy front, let's get wages up, for example, is now starting to become problematic when you've got inflation running like this. So it's definitely sort of, the Reserve Bank, with some certainty, has to lift by 25 basis points. Realistically, it should be lifting by 50. I doubt it's going to do that, there's certainly a strong case for it in the numbers, the way they've been coming out. And now it does seem as if we certainly won't be topping out at 3.35%. The Reserve Bank will have to go further than that over the course of coming months. So this is the issue which is starting to run here, and it's running a little bit against the odds of what's happening in some of the markets overseas. The one area where it's picked all this up is the currency. The currency is starting to zoom on the back of this, where we're looking at a higher interest rate differential starting to build here. So we've got export prices and import prices came out as well. For the time being, export prices have been coming down because that's largely some of the pullback in food prices and energy prices. They're probably going to rise again when we get into Q1. With the resurgence we've seen recently in things like iron ore prices, Import prices, though, are rising fast. And so they rose 3% way back in Q3. They rose another 1.8% quarter on quarter in Q4. And the producer price index, energy prices held it back a little for Q4. It was up by 0.7% quarter on quarter, but it's still up 5.8% year on year. And the chances are that we're going to get a real acceleration running through that as we go into the next few readings. This week in Australia, we'll get things like private sector credit. We get December retail sales and Q4 retail sales. Retail sales, the market thinks they may have pulled back a little bit in December. That was after a very strong 1.4% gain in November. If by any chance we got a positive sign on the front of retail sales, well, you know, things are blitzing along still. Q4 retail sales, the expectation is that they'll be up about 0.2%, same as the quarter before. We also get things like home building approvals, which are still coming back to some degree. Then we move to Europe. And in the case of Europe, what I would say is, you know, this is not the week where we get the RBA meeting. The RBA meeting, of course, is next week. It's the first Tuesday in February. In Europe, last week, we had consumer confidence came out. The January manufacturing PMI, the services sector PMI. And, for the most part, they were a little bit better than expected. The manufacturing PMI, lifted to 48.8 from 47.8, and the services sector PMI in Europe went back above 50, so it went to 50.7 from 49.8. Go back a month, 6 weeks ago, Europe seemed to be literally on the verge of going into recession in their winter. Yeah, that's faded completely over the course of the last few weeks, so their growth rate's actually holding up not too badly. This week, we get a number of indicators coming out of Europe, including just before the ECB meeting, we get on Thursday, we get their CPI comes out, and of course CPI readings. At this stage, they look as if they're going to hold up. So the January CPI may come back a little bit further to 9.1% from 9.2%, but that's still pretty high. The core CPI is not expected to come down. If anything, it's got stuck around the 6.9% mark, so that's still pretty high. Also, we'll get their December unemployment rate will come out just before the ECB meets, and the unemployment rate in Europe is still way down there at 6.5%, which is a very low unemployment rate by European standards. And there's plenty of evidence through much of Europe that wages are actually rising, In a place like the UK, for example, the country is almost in perpetual dispute now in just about every sector you can think of, and it's all about wages. So there's a lot of pressure running through there. So we have two key central bank meetings there in Europe on Thursday. We have the ECB, and we also have the Bank of England. And as far as the ECB is concerned, they've probably got to go 50 basis points again. So that will take their cash rate up from 2% to 2.5%. And the Bank of England, they're currently at 4% for their base rate. They've probably got to go 50 basis points again. So taking that up to 4.5%, sorry, from 3.5% to 4%. They were at 3.5%, and they'll take it up to 4%. So a fair bit of pressure there still for these central banks, where at the moment you've got almost, I won't say Pollyanna-ish, but highly optimistic views running that the central banks are almost at the top of all this. They haven't got far to go. And by the way, they can probably get their rates down pretty quickly beyond that. That just doesn't look right unless the central banks do a complete 180 degrees and start to say, we're no longer worried about the tightness of the labour markets. We'll accept what we see coming down with the decelerating inflation rate. If they start to say that, the market currently is right. But if they stick with, we still have some work to do, and these labour markets are still very, very tight. They can't get us consistently down to where we need to be as far as inflation is concerned, so we still have some work to do. Interest rates may stay higher for longer. If that continues to be the rhetoric they run, that's what they've been running, then obviously the views which are developing, the optimistic views both about the global economic outlook running off that, some of the market views which are running off that, will be subject to some pretty substantial revision at some point